Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's the Infectious Groove Podcast, part of the Odd Pods Media Network, recorded from Detroit, Michigan and Jacksonville, Florida. The Infectious Groove Podcast is your source for jammy jams, album reviews, and the best in-depth music discussion. Thanks for joining us. Now here are your hosts.
Well, hello there. My name is Ross. I'm the one that's in Jacksonville, Florida. Michelle is with me this week. She is the one that's in Detroit, Michigan. And a third city has entered the discussion this week. We're going to welcome a guest all the way from Seth.
Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon. So we have
never been.
We have time zones going on here. Three states involved. Michelle's never even been there.
I've never been to Oregon.
You guys got to come out this way sometime.
Yeah, for sure. I think I've been up to Seattle and then all through a whole lot of California. So I've been like in your vicinity, but not right there.
It sounds like you've been avoiding me and I'm not sure what that's about. So
he did tell me that before the show.
I knew it.
I greatly appreciate that, Michelle. this week on the program, we are circling back to one of our album review picks, and Michelle got to pick the album this week, which means we are going to visit on brand new The Devil and God Are Raging Inside Me. And we have Seth, who is, if you've a longtime listener of the show, you've heard both written and voicemail feedback from Seth. And I think nearly every time that I've read your feedback, I always mention that at the time you were running the Thanks for Coming RuPaul Drag Race podcast. And if I'm not mistaken, didn't it just become like there's so many variants of RuPaul's Drag Race that it's just too much to try and even keep up with?
Yeah, that's basically it. We got burnt out. There were often times where there were like three or four seasons happening at the same time.
Yeah, no.
And it was we tried to like change the format of the show. We tried to do like make it still fun for us and where we didn't hate our life. But it didn't work. So we were like, you know what? Like, I think this little ride has come to an end. So We've sort of rebranded to be more of a queer pop culture show. So that can still be, you know, talking about Drag Race, but just not like every week.
Yeah, at your leisure. Not just that it's a demanding thing. Yeah.
Right. Everything about our show is at our own leisure. We haven't put out a podcast in a month. So
it sounds like
you're on vacation.
I was going to say, it sounds like you have the schedule Michelle would like for
Infectious. Yeah. Michelle would love our podcast schedule. It's like when we basically just go, oh, you know what? We actually feel like podcasting. Let's talk about XYZ.
There you go.
I love that.
Yeah, Michelle would absolutely love it if this show was once a month or every other month, somewhere on there.
I think this new schedule like really benefits Michelle a lot, actually.
Yeah, oh yeah. How are you liking it so far, Michelle? I haven't even talked to you about that. How are you liking it so far?
I love it.
That's great. Yeah,
she's so much happier now.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny. The other day I went through, because I sent you and Kyle that schedule of like everything through like October. And then I was like, giant surprise. And I was like, but when I did it, I went back through and put it through to like mid-January now. So don't even worry about that. But somewhere in there, I was like, oh, I need to put our usual 2-week break here somewhere because Michelle's getting like every other week off. So I will give you the new updated version of that. But we have a bunch of podcast hosts that, like I said on the episode where I was like, hey, we're going to do our best with this. We are going to have this new schedule. And, you know, at the time that I recorded that episode, I had a couple of people in mind that I was like, as soon as this episode comes out, people are going to reach out to us. And Seth was one of them. Like, I knew as soon as we said, hey, we need help, you were going to help us.
I mean, I've been waiting for this day for so long. I've just been waiting for Michelle or Kyle to die, but luckily it didn't have to come to that. So,
well, we don't know that Kyle is still among the living right now. Michelle, can you confirm or deny if Kyle is alive right now?
I haven't heard anything from upstairs, so. Uh-oh. Oh, I don't know.
It's my time. I'm gonna overthrow Kyle and take the Kyle bump.
Zoe might have taken him out. Who knows?
Yeah. All right. Well, with all the pleasantries out of the way. Oh, and real quick, Seth, for anybody who wants to look into your pop culture podcast, just at Queer Defense Force on Twitter. What is that the handle?
Yeah. Well, so our full podcast name was actually like too many characters for the Twitter handle. Mm-hmm. So our show's called the Queer Defense Squad, but on Twitter, it's called the Queer Pod Squad. So yeah, that's where you can find us. If you're interested in RuPaul's Drag Race, though, we still have our like full, like 250 plus podcasts that are still up on, you know, whatever your app like, you listen to them on. So if you do want to like rewatch a Drag Race season and listen to our commentary, you can still do that as well. Like I said before, now we kind of just do like pop culture topics. We've like talked about like the TV show, Netflix show, Heartstopper, The Real World, Homecoming, New Orleans, things like that.
Awesome. And actually, I'm just about to, well, by the time this airs, I will have watched the All-Stars 7 finale. I'm trying to remember what's what. Anyways, so I want to go back and start watching old seasons. So that's great.
Yeah.
Like somebody like me could go back and watch the old seasons and listen to the concurring episodes, right?
And by the time this comes out, there'll be a new Beyonce album. Thoughts?
Michelle?
Sure.
All right. Let's get into feedback from last week's episode.
So excited.
Yeah, I know, Michelle. All right. Let's get into feedback from the last couple of weeks.
Feedback, Joe.
Don't worry about that. Right.
I put up on Twitter the other day that I was very excited that our YouTube channel, which Michelle, I'm sure you're aware of because of all your hard work and energy that you put into YouTube Avenue.
And all the episodes that I've watched, yes.
Correct, yes. And all of them that you've taken any amount of time to watch, yes. We hit 1,600 subscribers on YouTube, which is awesome. And about a month ago, I was telling everybody that we got accepted to be monetized. So all of those good things are together. And a longtime listener, Dean from the UK, said to us that he remembers around the 600 mark, me putting out a tweet saying that he was thinking that we had I had hit a lull in the channel and we were struggling to get new subs and viewers. And here we are 1,000 subscribers later, showing that hard work pays off. Congrats to you and all that you do for both audio and visual. So Michelle, I assume you also are taking that. Congratulations to you, toward you, for all the hard work and energy you put into the YouTube channel.
For sure. It was really hard to not be on it while you lived in Detroit.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. When you lived a half mile away and you couldn't just stroll down the road to be on a video.
Yeah. It was really hard to keep you at bay. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, everyone appreciates your efforts. So regarding last week's episode, there's a newer podcast that's been listening to us and interacting with us called the Apple Boys Podcast. They said, "Hey, Infectious Groove, I had stuff to do today, but thanks to your Beard Al guest, I found myself sucked into a YouTube black hole obsessing over DJ Cummerbund. I fully intend to blame my lack of productivity on you and will file a complaint by way of a 5-star review." And Michelle, just so you know, last week we had John from the Beard Al Podcast on, and he was talking about this YouTube channel called DJ Cummerbund, where they do things like remix Britney Spears and Rob Zombie together. And so needless to say, that was right up Kyle's alley.
You're just assuming I didn't listen to it.
Right, right. Did you enjoy last week's episode when you listened to it, Michelle?
I didn't listen to it.
You know what's a fun fact? I honest to God, I don't believe I've ever mentioned this on the show. And this is fact. I'm not being funny right now. One of the reasons why Michelle and I have been friends for so long, and she knows this, I'm probably going to embarrass her right now. Michelle is the most truthful person I've ever met in my entire life. Like, she won't even like white lie to you. Like, you know, when you walk in a room and you're like, "Hey, do these pants look good?" And your friends are like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." Well, I mean, you know, Michelle will just be like, "Nope." Like, she, like, that's just how, yeah. And like, she won't lie about anything, which is why I specifically worded the question that way, because she had to say if she was going to be, if she had listened. And of course, the truth came out.
No. And it's because I just can't lie. It's all over my face.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I think I've seen you try like once and it didn't work out.
It gives me anxiety. I can't do it.
Well, to be fair, this actually gives Michelle an excuse to not know what happened on last week's podcast.
Right.
Well,
yeah, it's fine because I never do.
Yeah, you'll notice that I skipped right over, hey, Michelle, what did we talk about last week? Because there was just no chance. Even when she's there, she doesn't. 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
I wouldn't know. That was so long ago.
Just so long ago. EMZ on Twitter writes in and says, I keep forgetting to send you guys' feedback after every episode I listen to because that's what happens when I listen in the car. It's funny, but I've been listening for about a year or so, and it only hit me that during the Lady Marmalade episode that you guys don't actually play music. I needed to hear the original again because I hadn't heard it in forever. My favorite changes daily, but I honestly like the cover for the rap, but I like Patti LaBelle for the sass. So kind of right down the middle on that.
Yeah.
Last week we
had must not be an old person like you.
Yeah, I was going to say last week we had some feedback from a listener named Seth who called me an old because I liked the Patti LaBelle version better.
What's it's this rap music you guys exactly. listen to these
it's
days?
It's not that you liked the Patti LaBelle version more. It's that you didn't like the rap.
Well, you kept, right. You kept saying that I hated the rap and at no point. Did I say that I hated the rap?
I vaguely remember Russ saying, it literally pains me to hear the rap every time.
Yeah, that's
something along those lines. I do think, yeah, I think you said that, yes.
Yeah.
I can corroborate that.
That's exactly what I said. Well, you two are both going to be on the spot here in a second because I asked the other day on Twitter, what's your favorite Weird Al Yankovic song because of our topic last week? And we got a whole host of replies and whatnot. And I'm going to put both of you on the spot here in a minute and ask what your favorite one is. But here's some of the replies we got. It's all about the Pentiums, Albuquerque, which might be my favorite Weird Al song of all time. Amish Paradise, Party in the CIA, TMZ, Spam, You Don't Love Me Anymore, eBay, which is also another really, really, really good one. And then we got a call out for the Hamilton Polka, which I always forget about, but is absolutely fantastic. Like it's really, really, really good.
Like Hamilton, like the Broadway show?
Yes. Yeah. He did a polka of nearly every song in the show. The polka itself is amazing, but it's even better if you go to YouTube and you look up the video of Lin, I always say his name wrong. Somebody help the old out.
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yes. Why I can't say his name is beyond me. But if you watch the video of him hearing the Hamilton polka for the first time, it's just magic. So having said that, Seth, do you have a favorite Weird Al track?
Well, I guess I would be what you consider a basic bitch when it comes to Weird Al. And so, like, my memories and everything revolves around the Bad Hair Day album, mm-hmm. which I'm sure.
No, that's a great record. That's a great album.
So I would have to say, Amish Paradise or Alternative Polka.
Alternative Polka. And I think the most underrated song on that record is Gump. That's
an amazing song, too.
Such a great parody. Such a great parody. There's a Soul Asylum parody on that record, too, that people forget.
Okay. I know Al has a Lady Gaga cover. I don't remember what the song is called, but I just remember the music video is hilarious.
Yeah.
Are you guys on the same basis now?
Al? Yeah. Al and Seth? Yeah. They go back. Yeah.
Yeah.
But friends. Perform This Way is his. Yeah. Yeah. Michelle, do you have a favorite Weird Al track?
What's the one about English?
word crimes.
Dictionary?
Word crimes?
Yes.
That is, word crimes is perfect.
I would say that, and it's between that and Amish Paradise, but Word Crimes is lyrically, I feel like, better.
My favorite part in Word Crimes, because it encapsulates so much that Weird Al does right, is when he takes the what is a very offensive line from Blurred Lines and changes it to you would not use it's in this case. Absolutely. First time I heard it, I almost fell out of my chair.
Yeah, it's so good.
Wrapping up things from the feedback section is our friend Mohammed Riza from Iran. And he says, I listened to the last week's episode, and I got to admit, although Michelle is a core part of the podcast, the guest you had was tremendous, and I enjoy the heck out of your show. And the three of you, it was unique and different, and I think this only helps the program grow, and it's going to be even better and even more fun. Keep up the good work. Love you all. Which I think is, it's every week when we read feedback from Iran, it amazes me.
I think he's right, actually, because now I'm here, and I feel like that's better.
Right, yeah, and so it's going to be an even more stupendous guest next week.
Right, yeah.
I'm going to tell Kyle that you said that you think it's better without him.
That's fine. Me and Kyle can fight, but I'm here to fully support Michelle this week, especially because she picked such a good album to review.
Let's save all that praise for the second half. Moving right along.
Power Jam.
Seth, since you are our guest, and I never want Michelle to go first, just to prove a point now, I will ask you what... Michelle, I am number one. Thank you. I know the listeners can't see this, but Michelle just told me I'm number one. Seth, what are your Jammy Jams? What have you been listening to?
So I brought a I brought a podcast and a half a Jammy Jam.
All right.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Are you trolling me?
Sorry, it's out of love, Michelle.
Fine.
So I have I did write like a handful of Jammy Jams this week, that songs I've been listening to a lot lately. Up number one is this band called King Stingray, and they do this great cover of Yellow by Coldplay, and it's like amazing. The singer is from an Australian band, and the singer is from the Northern Territory, which is where like I'm trying to think of like the correct way to say it, but like where the Aboriginal people that are native to Australia mm-hmm. live. Right. And so there's definitely like a lot of that influence in the cover of this song. And I just love like Afro infusion, like in music, especially like covers and stuff like this.
Mm. What if you don't like the original?
No, I like the original too.
No, I'm saying like, what if I didn't like the original? Would I like the cover?
I think so. Cause this King Stingray is more of a surf rock like vibe to it. So it's like, you know, good vibes.
Okay, I'll check it out.
There are things that I don't mind Chris Martin's voice on. Some Coldplay stuff, I mind his voice less than others. And Yellow, like from the moment I heard it, I was like, please stop singing. Like, I just don't like his voice on that cut. So I'm guessing I would like the cover better because it's going to be someone else singing it.
Yeah, it's definitely a different vibe. It's you know, it's pretty like it stays pretty true to the original song, but he does like kind of change the melody a little bit.
Right on. All right. So King Stingray, what else do you got?
The next one I have is Måneskin Supermodel.
Mm-hmm.
They're the Eurovision winners from not the most recent one, but the one before that.
And a band who was pushed heavily in the U.S. after they won. It was one of those things where I was like, where did these people come from? Like, whose kids are these?
I've totally heard of them before.
You absolutely have.
Sing it.
Yeah, they got famous off like that song Beggin', which is a cover.
Oh, yeah.
The guy's name, it's like a golden oldie, but I forget the guy's name that was original.
That's all over the radio.
Yeah, so you probably know that one. I'm actually going to see them. They have a concert on Halloween in Seattle, so I'm very excited to see them.
How far is Seattle from you?
It's about 3.5 hours.
Holy shit.
So it's like not far, but also not close.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. All right. You got two. Do you have a third one for us or more?
I do. I brought five. Is that too many?
Nope. Go ahead. Go through them quick. You can take some of Michelle's time.
Okay. Perfect. So the next song I brought is by a band called Against Me. And this song is called True Trans Soul Rebel. And it's like off my favorite album of theirs, Transmorphia Dysphoria. Euphoria Blues or something like that. It's like it's really hard. It's like one of those titles that is really hard for me to say.
I like them.
Yeah, I just saw Laura Jane Grace has been touring on her own and with a couple other people, and she's just amazing to see live on her own as with the band.
That's awesome. They're one of those bands that I forget exists until somebody brings it up, and then I'm like, I really need to dig more into them because I like everything I've heard.
Well, yeah, all of their albums are really good. There's a new EP that Laura put out recently that's actually really good, too. There's a song called Lolo 13 on it that I would direct you to.
Okay.
It's something about silverfish is the title of the... I can't remember the exact title, but it's something about silverfish.
Send it to me later.
Yeah, I'll send it to you guys, or I'll send it through you, through Russ.
Yeah, because somebody on the show doesn't have their Twitter password. So.
I am on Twitter. I just don't ever check it.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
I'm like halfway there.
What else we got?
So the next song I have is by Lizzo, and it's her newest single, Girls. I love... Have you guys heard that song?
How many R's?
There are 3 R's.
Okay. All right.
There's no I.
That's important. Oh my.
I think it's supposed to be like, you know, the Riot Girl movement. I think it's supposed to be like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, this is going to make me, this is going to be the first of many statements where you guys are going to like, let's get Grandpa to bed. But is this, I've heard a recent Lizzo single that sounded very Daft Punk-ish to me. Is that this, or does that not even sound like Daft Punk to you?
You would recognize this one because they sample the Beastie Boys song.
Then I haven't heard it yet. But that's a great sample to use, though.
Girls. That song. So then my last one is the Japan Droids, and it's called The House That Heaven Built.
That is a band. That's one of those bands that I've always heard of and never listened to yet. So this week's playlist will be a good opportunity for me to do that.
And if you ever have a chance to see them live, it's just two people. It is one of the best live shows I've ever been to.
Right on. Like,
there's two people on the stage, and it's so, so good and entertaining.
Right on.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I saw them when I was still living up in Seattle. But yeah, it was a really good time.
Right on.
Right on. Michelle, it's your time to shine. What are your jammy jams? How many books on tape were you listening to this week? Aw, I'm number one again.
Finger again.
Yeah, I'm number one again.
I'm number one. I have two jammy jams.
All right, go on. It's always good when you make it plural.
Is there any unjams?
There's no unjams this week.
Okay, dang.
Not this week. I have Shaky Graves. Dearly Departed is been in my head all week, so that's what I've been listening to on repeat, just that song. And then I want to get this. Clinton Kane came out with a new album, and it's called Maybe Someday It'll Be Okay. And I really like the whole album. I Go to Hell was a single off of it, and it was my jammy jam probably, I don't know, a couple months ago. And it's only like 4, 6, 8 songs. So would you call that an EP?
No, it's that. Oh. I mean, that to me classifies as
an album.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is good.
I know you hate it when I ask this question, but what genre is it? I don't know the artist.
It's pop.
Oh, okay.
It's pop. I like singer, songwriter, poppy. Yeah, pretty much. I'm sorry, it's only 23 minutes long, so it's pretty short. That's probably why I like it.
I was going to say that the full length of the album, and it sounds like the songs must be Michelle attention span length.
Yes.
And no stinkers.
I didn't say that. I enjoy the whole album, but there might be a few songs on here that I wouldn't pick to put on the playlist. So
I just assumed that since it was short and concise, you'd be like, yes, this is all great. Yeah.
I do love the majority of it. So
none of the songs were around long enough for her to be mad about.
Exactly. I didn't get bored with them.
Speaking of you getting bored with songs and lengths of songs, we're going to come around to my pick for an album review soon. And it's one of your episodes, Michelle.
Uh-oh.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of payback and probably a lot of crying on my part.
How is this a bad album for you?
So my jammy jams this week, we have a whole second half to discuss that. My jammy jams for this week, Jack White put out a new record last Friday called Entering Heaven Alive. And what's weird is I'm an enormous Jack White fan, have been for a very long time and listened to nearly everything. And I used to be like super rabid about whenever he put anything out. But because of how hectic this year was, he put out a record in April called Fear of the Dawn that outside of like hearing the single, I never even listened to that entire record, which is crazy for me to have like passed on a whole Jack White record. So this last Friday, Entering Heaven Alive came out and I listened to that one straight through. And then I was like, you know what? No time like the present. So I listened to Fear of the Dawn straight through as well. So now, Seth, have you listened to both of these records?
Both are really good and quite the opposite of each other.
Not only are they opposite of each other, but and Michelle, now I don't think you probably haven't had time to listen to the two new Jack White records. Yeah.
No, I've heard singles off both, but I haven't heard the album straight through.
Okay. Well, the reason why I'm qualifying that is because I know you do know the first two, Blunderbuss and Lazaretto. For me, the first one that came out this year, Fear of the Dawn, reminds me heavily of the Lazaretto album, Jack's second solo record. And I wasn't expecting it, but the new one that just came out last Friday, Entering Heaven Alive, reminds me strongly of Blunderbuss, his first solo record, but in a good way. Like I famously don't like Boarding House Reach, his third LP. Like I really, really don't like that album, but I understand and encourage an artist's need to grow. So, you know, I don't want to be the guy that just sits back and is like, well, if you're not going to keep making the same two records, then I don't want to hear it, you know? But both of these records, like, they remind me of the first two, but there's still a lot of growth there. They're not, he didn't just do Blunderbuss again and Lazaretto again.
I like that they're pretty different because, like you said, like, it's interesting to see the different sides of Jack White. And so to be able to have one album that just fucking rips and then another album that's a little bit more subtle, but more the lyrics are more deeper, a little bit deeper and more thoughtful, you know, it's just two different sides of Jack White. But I mean, they're both great.
Yeah.
I'd rather they were on the same album.
You would rather what? Have it be like
Rips and then like the more meaningful instead of two separate albums.
Well, it's not the new, like Entering Heaven Alive is not all like acoustic downtrodden stuff, and Fear of the Dawn's not all like, you know, Icky Thump type songs. I mean, there is some up and down on both records. They're just very contrasting albums.
Right on.
Michelle's like, too many albums, Jack, this year. Just too many albums. Just pick one.
I thought that when I heard it came out, and I was like, maybe I just like not aware of time. Like maybe that was like 2 years ago that the last album came out. I don't know.
Michelle's like, didn't this debut album just come out like seven, eight years ago? God.
I mean, slow down.
Yeah, Jesus. All right. So that is the first half of the show. We had our feedback and our jammy jams. We welcome Seth into the mix. And in the second half of the show, I'm going to step aside and let the young people discuss the music that they seem to like so much. We have an album review coming up of brand new The Devil and God Are Raging Inside Me, coming up in the second half of the show. You're listening to the Infectious Groove Podcast on the Odd Pods Media Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, I'm Pants Lasaran.
This is Stevie.
And I'm Augie.
And we are BFYTW, a podcast all about playing games and having fun. Our games are usually based on British panel shows and game shows, but we'll play anything that captures our attention and imagination. Why? It's right there in the title.
You'll never guess what the F stands for.
Hey, it's Dalton.
And Sam.
We want to tell you about our podcast called Big Ten Plus Four.
Are you a college football fan who doesn't want to always be talking about the SEC?
Are you a college basketball fan who's tired of hearing how the Big Ten doesn't win in the big dance?
Then we're the show for you. Check us out each week on the Odd Pods Media Network. We bring you college sports with a Big Ten flavor.
Big Ten Plus Four, college sports with Midwest perspective, blue collar and blue blood.
We are back. It's Russ and Michelle from the Infectious Group Podcast. And along with us this week is our special guest, Seth. And Seth is a longtime fan of the show, a fellow podcaster, hundreds of episodes in the can with his old Thanks for Coming podcast. And now as many as one per month from his current podcast.
And no guarantee when the next one will come.
Right. Yeah. And it's a mystery.
I love it.
That's part of the draw, is it's just a mystery when you get a new one.
We go by the Beyonce method, where it's like, you know, we just drop the album when it's ready.
That's great. When you're feeling it, don't force it.
We like to force Michelle every other week to join us on the show. And for this one, we have circled back around to an album review. And this week happened to be her pick. So she was guaranteed to show up for the episode. And actually, not even guaranteed to show up for the episode.
50-50.
Michelle has chosen for us to review Brand New's third album, The Devil and God Are Raging Inside Me. The album was released on November 21st, 2006. This is a follow-up to their hugely successful Deja Entendu record. And with that comes a whole lot of pressure, to put it in terms like that an old like me would know. When you have an act break through with something like Thriller or with like The Dark Side of the Moon, the album that comes after it is always going to be like a letdown no matter what. Like even if fans love it out of the gate, if it doesn't do the same numbers that the record before it did, or heaven forbid doesn't sound exactly like the record before it, there's a lot of pressure that comes with that. So that was on the shoulders of Brand New when they were making this record and getting it ready for release in late 2006. Michelle, why did you bring this record to the table for us to review?
So I generally like all of Brand New's catalog, except for maybe one.
And including and especially Daisy, their best album. Yeah, Daisy, which is their best record, but go on.
Yeah, I thought we were going to be doing Daisy today. Is that not? No?
Daisy's their worst record. Anyways, well,
we can just cover it by saying Daisy is a 10 out of 10, their best record. So that there's that review. Go on, Michelle.
This came out when I was in college, and I loved the first record. That was very much like freshman year of high school for me. And then when Deja Entendu came out, that was like when I was getting older, driving around, listening to it. And I liked their growth. So I was super excited when the new record came out to see where they were going. And this is, spoiler alert, my favorite Brand New album. I don't dislike Deja Entendu by any means, but this is my favorite Brand New album. I love that it's different, but the same at the same time. I just like their sound much better on this record than I do on Deja Entendu. So just in general, this is just my favorite Brand New record. So that's why I picked it.
Speaking of Deja Entendu, so you know how when you play an album straight through on Spotify and it gets to the end of the record, it'll just play like other songs by the artist, you know? Okay. So with albums that I know extremely well, obviously I know when that happens, right? Like, again, Pink Floyd, Wish You Were Here, like when Shine On fades out and all of a sudden Brick in the Wall starts. I'm like, okay, wait, nope, you know, the wrong album's over, right? So I was listening to this album again today, like, because I listened to it 3 or 4 times again this week for the review. And so I'm like, listen to it while I'm working. And then a song started and I was like, oh, I really like this song. How did I not know this was on this record? I've listened to it like 3 times. And I look at Spotify and it was playing a song from Deja Entendu. And I was like, ah, yes. Ah, Spotify. Damn it.
You were so let down.
Well, like I say, so this is one of many times that both of you and Seth during this half of the episode are going to be like, okay, Grandpa, let's get you to bed. You know, like,
I knew this would be contentious though, because I know how much Russ hates emo music. So
see, do you feel like, I feel like this is going away from the emo stuff. I feel like Deja is more emo than this.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, this is a little bit more like hardcore.
It's like a rockier.
Yeah.
I think that's why I like it a little bit more. It's more, I don't know how to say this without sounding dumb, but there's more instruments. Does that make sense? Like there's just more going on other than just like the pop punk emo beat in the background and a little bit of a guitar.
No, I totally hear that evolution and growth between the two records. And I'm like Seth said, I'm far from any sort of expert on emo, but I like it to somebody from the way outside looking in, I can even hear the differences. So we always go through and ask for your best tracks on the record. And I'm going to give mine first because I feel like both of you are going to have much longer lists than I have for this, but for
longer than none.
Yeah. So my best tracks on the record were none whatsoever. I'm just weird. Kidding.
That's not showing up on my song list. Do you have a different version?
Yeah. No, songs for me were Jesus Christ, which I believe I'm pronouncing this correctly, Degausser. I believe is the name of the song. And
that's
then
how I say it.
But. Yeah. And then Limousine. Mm-hmm. So right there in the middle of the record, those three in a row are my personal favorite tracks on it. Seth, other than everything on this record, what are your absolute favorite tracks on it?
Well, you definitely cover a lot. My favorite tracks that I wrote down, it's basically just like the first is like basically side A of the album. Sewing Season, Millstone, Jesus Christ, Degausser, and Limousine.
Right on. Michelle, what do you have for your favorite tracks on the record?
All of them, except for my stinkers. So I don't, but I can just name a few. I mean, Jesus Christ, Handcuffs, You Won't Know, Sewing Season, Archers. I like all those ones, but everything except for my one stinker.
I think Jesus Christ might be my favorite song on the record. Like if I was going to nail it down to one that I like the most, that would probably be it.
I think my favorite would be Sewing Season.
I like that. I think that's a great way to start the record. I think that it is a very great opening track.
I was reading a little bit about the tracks and stuff like that. And I guess the second verse of that song was inspired by a Rudyard Kipling poem.
Oh.
And the title of the track is taken from a Stephen King novel.
That makes sense. I only know a little bit about one song, which I don't know if I was going to wait for open discussion, but.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Seth should have waited too. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm sorry. No, I'm just the podcast whenever the fuck I want.
No. I'm just kidding. Okay, so that's what we all have for best tracks, and I will hold off on my stinkers. Seth, we'll open up with you. Are there any stinkers on this record for you? To be honest, I'm shocked Michelle has one, but go on.
Yeah, so I don't know. Michelle isn't going to like this because one of her faves was basically my only stinker, and that was You Won't Know. I didn't really enjoy that song as much.
Is it the yelling?
No, I don't mind the yelling. It's just after, like, you know, it start like in the middle of the album, like I wrote like the second half of the album to me doesn't feel as strong as the first half of the album. So the exception that I wrote to that was Not the Sun. That song's a banger. But like it, I don't even know if I could even say like any of them are stinkers. It's just songs I preferred less.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. But you're wrong.
Michelle, what is your one and only stinker on the record?
I bet you could guess.
I don't believe that I can. No,
It's the untitled song, and that has what, no words, and it's so I feel like it's there to bridge Luca and Archer's, because there's it's a definite like change of pace between the two songs, and so I feel like there is a reason for it. I just don't like it. I don't appreciate it. I would just take it out if I was up to making the track list. Just get the fuck out of here, man.
Good Lord. So when we did best tracks, I listed Jesus Christ, De Gauzer, and Limousine. And then for stinkers, I put everything else, kind of. So hold on. Here's my thing. So first of all, Seth, I'm going to lean on you on this because you touched on it. Okay. I couldn't agree more that the first half of the record is way, way stronger than the second half of the record. I also don't hold the affinity for the opening track that Michelle does, right? So when you take that, the power, like when you take and you put together that the second half of the record isn't as powerful or isn't as good as the first half, and then you take that I don't love the opening track, you're left with the three middle there. Like to me, the record literally, like if you were going to put this record into a visual for me, it's literally like a bell curve. Like the record absolutely hits its peak when it should.
It's like this and then drops.
Well, yeah, okay.
There's
yeah.
no curve on
it's
the
more,
way down.
So it's more like the cliffhanger game in Price is Right. Less than a bell curve. It's more like straight up and then
the yodeler.
Right. Yes. Yeah. The yodel game. So yeah, for me, I feel like when we say stinkers, we have to be like, oh, this is an absolute terrible song. It's not even that I don't want to hear any of those songs ever again. It's just if somebody was to say like, hey, put on Devil and God, I would be like, okay, but can I play these three in a row? Like I would want to hear those songs before anything else. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
I guess I'm like in between Russ and Michelle, where I would listen to the first like five songs, like the first half of the album, and then just kind of be like, it's all right. We're good.
Flip it over.
Yeah. Yeah. If you flip the LP, great. If you don't, that's fine too.
Yeah. I told the store they could keep the second half. It's, you know, I don't need it, you know.
See, this is one of the records that I would absolutely put on front to back. That untitled, I feel like it's only like less than a minute.
I feel that way more about Deja Entendu personally.
It's like 2 minutes, but no. You wait, what?
I feel more like Deja Entendu is like is an album that I can listen to front to back.
Oh, for sure. Wait, is it Entendu or Entendu?
I'm like, what was the difference in the two?
I have never had less of a horse in a race than what's happening right here, right now. So y'all discuss that amongst yourselves.
End or on? I say Entendu, but you said on.
Entendu. Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll have to put a pin in that.
Yeah, so
okay. Add it to the list of things we don't know how to say.
I'm just saying that when I bring albums to the review table, I know how they're pronounced and all
that's
those.
That's not the album that I brought.
No, that's correct. We did a review of that record, though.
It's already packed up with a bow and fucking ship it, man. Yeah,
what's done is done.
Yes.
Okay, moving into open discussion. Michelle, you have some points that you definitely want to bring up about this record.
More just like a story. Saw Brand New on this tour in Detroit, and Jesse, the lead singer, told a story about Limousine, and it stuck with me ever since. He said he wrote it, and so this was a long time ago for me. So this was like, how long ago was this record come out?
2006. So it's been a hot minute.
16 years? No. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That sounds right.
Okay. So I'm not saying that my memory's like fantastic, but this is how I remember it. He got on the stage and he told the story about how he was on tour and he just happened to be reading a newspaper. And there was the story about this couple that either had just been wed or was about to be married. And they got killed in a drunk driving accident. And it was all about, they interviewed the mom who is like, you know, my daughter just got married. I think she just got married, you know, and it was so sad and like all this stuff. And he just felt so moved to write the song. And so if you look at the lyrics, it's about, you know, the last day, and you know that this drunk driver thought it was his right to, you know, drink and drive and take your life. And ever since then, every time I hear the song, I can hear him telling the story, and it's just moving. So
I would like to add on to this story, because I also read about this story behind the song.
So you probably know more than I do. I just heard it.
Not to like show up Michelle, but like
I quit.
This is why I need to be on the show every week. I'm just saying. But yeah, it was basically what I read was true. What I read was that just the daughter died, and actually, like, trigger warning, what I read was that her in the crash, the daughter was decapitated, and
her head landed
in the mom's lap.
That's what I did hear. That's what, okay, now that you say that, he did say that part of the story, but
yeah. And also, like, this happened in Long Island, where they're from. And he said he knew a lot of people at that time that were drinking and driving. And so it was all sort of like, you know, all of that, like, kind of like brought him to write this song. And Limousine is actually, from what I read, considered their best song by the fans. And yeah, it's just like really cool how they tell the story from different points of view.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
While they didn't tell that story when I saw them, I've only seen Brand New in concert twice. Both were because, I don't want to name names, but somebody who's on the show right now made me go to both concerts. And I will say the second concert that we went to, which I think was at either the Fox Theater or the State Theater, one or the other.
The Fillmore, yeah, the State.
Yeah, but that was a fantastic show. That was really, really good show.
They put on a good visual show that time. I feel like there was a lot of like lights and like stuff like that that went with the songs that made it even better.
So it kept my kept my attention. I was like, ooh, flashing lights.
I've seen them where it's just like them on. I actually saw Brand New on tour with Dashboard, and it was like up for a really long time. It was like my ultimate favorite concert, because those are like my favorite two bands. But I feel like that was just very humdrum, like they didn't have backdrops or anything. And so to see them come from that to like this light show and everything that they put on, and it was just it was a lot to take in, and visually it was great. So
and Russ was like 5 years in, he was like, oh my god, this Pink Floyd show is great.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think you could get me drunk enough at a Brand New show to where I would mistake their music for Pink Floyd. I will say though, Michelle, the show we went to at Meadowbrook years ago, they were with someone else that night, but that show was like night and day. Like, it was the subdued type show you were talking about.
I thought it was FDTE.
No.
One with Modest Mouse?
I think it was. And absolutely was not a DTE. No.
Tomato.
Why don't you Google the seating capacity of DTE and tell me if you think Brand New played that place?
I've seen Dashboard at DTE, so.
Well, if you're saying that Brand New and Dashboard are on the same level as far as ticket sales.
Wouldn't you say?
No.
I think so.
No. And also, there was absolutely someone else on that bill to have Dashboard at DTE.
I do know that Brand New played with Modest Mouse. I know for sure, because the person that I had went with, who was not you, Russ, wanted to see Modest Mouse.
I see. But yeah, I know we went and saw them at Meadowbrook, and then I thought the show at the Fox Theater was quite a bit better. I think it was at the Fox Theater. Either way.
That was the last time.
Yeah, that was the last time they were through Detroit for sure, right?
Yeah.
Great.
When are they coming back?
So, well, you wanted Marcus Mumford to come, and you're not paying his whole $50 ticket price. So maybe bands just aren't going to come through Detroit if you're not going to pay to see him.
Kyle said, and I quote, "You're the worst fan." That's what he called me today. And I said, I don't have $50.
So. Yeah. Well, if you want to go to GoFundMe.com/Michelle's concerts. Or you can just support the show on Patreon, and we can give Michelle the money from the show to go to
Marcus Mumford. What I'm just going to do is take the day off and walk around Detroit and hopefully find Marcus Mumford.
Just show enough leg until somebody lets you into the show.
Yeah, I have connections, man. It's fine.
Right on.
It's also not too late. I can still buy tickets.
So I'm going to point out in open discussion one thing that I absolutely do not like about this record, and then one thing that I do like a great deal. Although I agree with you, Michelle, that this is a more rockin' effort than the previous records to it, less emo and more rock. I do not like the production on this record at all.
That is one thing I was gonna maybe talk to bring up about as well, because it seems like a lot of like the instruments and his vocals are all like in the same range.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like this is personally for me, it really, I like to listen to the lyrics and the song, you know, the melody and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And when bands like bury their vocals in the mix, that is like kind of frustrating to me. Mm-hmm. Foo Fighters did that on Concrete and Gold. And that was like what the fuck?
Yeah. I think that's two records after Wasting Light, which, in my opinion, they will never top Wasting Light as far as like songwriting construction and production. And then Sonic Highways, I felt, was a step down. And then Concrete and Gold is like a drop off the earth as far as production goes.
The songs like actually could have been good on that album. It's just like you said, the production, like whoever they worked with, I don't like it. And it's just the Foo Fighters. Dave is like, part of the whole Foo Fighters shtick is that Dave yells and screams and there's dynamics in the song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't like the production on this record at all. Like, in that, for me, it detracts a great deal. And I think Seth hit the nail on the head. It's probably because I'm such a big lyric guy. And the vocals, I just don't like the production of the vocals at all on the record. So let me swing this back up some, though. And because you two are the big brand new fans, more so than me. So am I wrong, or has this record become way more popular over time than it was received initially? Or is that, is my perception way off on that?
I don't know. I talked to you about music, so you told me.
I'll tell you this story, because this might answer your question. I remember when the album came out, I think it was around Thanksgiving time in 2006. Probably already said the date, but my pea brain just doesn't hold that much information.
I'm dealing with two of you at once.
Yeah. They're multiplying. But I remember going, this was during college, and I went to a friend's house for Thanksgiving. And it was like a couple of us went to the friend's house because she lived around the college, and her younger brother was like, oh, the brand new album just came out, we got to go get it. And so we all went, I think it was to like Walmart or something, and picked up the CD, because this is when people listen to CDs, and got the album and just like put it on like immediately, like on the drive home. And just like, we were just like listening to it all Thanksgiving weekend, and it was really good.
Ooh, so everybody was digging it right off the bat then?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a lot of demand, because like you said before, Deja Entendu was such a big hit. You know, this is their first major label album. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, they felt a lot of pressure to really follow that album up, because Jesse was having lots of like depression and anxiety about, you know, upholding the response to that Deja Entendu album.
Right, yep.
I think that everyone... all like two people that I hang out with that like it's brand new at the time also enjoyed that album when it came out. Like I said, we were in college, so I feel like it was definitely at a time in our lives when I was still like really hardcore emo and like always looking for the new greatest thing, and that I do distinctly remember other people liking this record. But I don't know how to answer your question, Russ. Like, are you saying that more people who like Brand New already have grown to love this album, or that more people in general like Brand New now and this album has grown?
That's what I mean. I feel like more people now like Brand New than before, and I feel like more people talk about this record now than Deja. Like, for years, if the subject of Brand New ever came up with someone who isn't you, they would always talk about Deja before anything else. Like, you're the only person that I've ever heard. And then like, even the response on Twitter today, when I was like, hey, we're recording a new episode tonight, there was like a lot of people that were like, oh Jesus, I love that album so much. And I feel like usually if Brand New comes up, that instantly you're going to be talking about Deja. But not then, not now. I feel like now more people talk about this record than before. And again, this could just be my perception of things.
I think you're just in the emo world now. You're in it with us. Like, you've come along for the ride. Don't you agree?
You listeners can't see this, but Russ actually has hair covering one of his eyes.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wanted to make sure to fit in with this episode, so I went full on.
You dyed it black?
Yeah, 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 absolutely.
He's got some sweatbands on his wrists.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, nobody can see it, but
I didn't know that we were dressing up. I have like, you know what? My favorite shirt in my entire life, I'm pretty sure I bought at the Devil and God show. It said Brand Nizzle on it, and I loved it so much. And I don't know where it went, and I'm pretty sure I gave it away, and it's so sad.
But
I would have worn that.
One of my favorite pictures of you ever is from after the last time we saw Brand New. And it's a picture of you outside the car walking back from the drive-thru menu, because we had had enough to drink to where you couldn't read the menu from inside the car. So you got out of the car and walked up to the menu at the drive-thru to read it.
That was that show?
That was absolutely that show. Yes, that's one of my favorite pictures of you. I'm like, what's Michelle doing in that picture? Walking back from the drive-thru menu.
I needed to see it better, man.
That's true. So moving on to the last two questions we ask before we get to our ratings of the record. Would you buy this record? And I'll just say I've bought this album twice and not for me both times. That I've purchased this record. Number one, Michelle, I bought it for you for your birthday once on vinyl. And then when I had the massive vinyl collection, I had this and Deja on vinyl, but not for me. Like I had them on there for, no, literally, I literally had them for like when someone would come over for like a year, people would go through the records and someone would be like, I can't believe we don't have Deja by brand new. So I bought that. And then I bought Devil and God because I do like it more than Deja. So I was like, well, if I got to have the
one.
And
then what else did you buy?
Their best album, Daisy. I had that as well on vinyl.
Yeah, that's the best one, I think.
Yeah. It's
are you kidding?
I mean, I do like Daisy, but I don't think it's their best album.
Are you trolling me? Okay.
So
I'm about to log off.
Michelle.
Rage quit.
Michelle, I have to assume you have purchased this record for yourself in addition to receiving it as a gift, yes?
I'm like 98% sure that I bought it on CD. I cannot verify that I did not Napster it.
Oh, man. That's a great story, actually. To very quickly veer off. So, and I will tell Seth this as I tell the audience this. So when Daisy came out, Michelle wasn't very savvy with the internet yet. And so I acquired Daisy, we'll say, off of the various nefarious means. And I burned it to CD. And having barely no knowledge of brand new myself, I gave her the CD. And I was like, here's the new brand new album. And she gave it back like 2 days later. And she was like, I don't know who that is, but that's not brand new. Like, but, I'm like, well, I don't know. Like, I don't know this band well enough to know, you know? And she disliked the record so much, she didn't think it was brand new.
I would say, I thought, for sure, it was like when you used LimeWire or Napster and you thought you were getting an album and it was titled that way and you spent all day on dial-up downloading it and then you play it and it's just like that that little frog guy. What is his
name? The hello, my baby. Hello. Yeah, Michigan J. Frog. Yeah.
I feel like that was what it was.
Yeah,
and I was like, you got duped, man. I hope you didn't pay for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's how much Michelle liked Daisy off the top. So Seth, I have to assume you have purchased this record at least once or several times.
Yeah, I do have this album on vinyl. So it's in the collection.
Right on. And you were at least present once when it was purchased on CD.
Yeah, I was present, but it wasn't my money. The best way, really.
Right on.
Actually, I think what happened is when we got home from the purchasing of said CD is that he burned us copies.
There you go.
Yeah, I did a lot of that when I was younger.
Mm-hmm. You sure did.
So, you were one of them.
No, I know. I was the one who supplied you with most of the CDs. So we always ask if you would recommend this record. And for me, I put maybe and two question marks. And the reason why I put that is because I feel like anybody I would recommend this record to would already know about it. You know what I mean? Like,
if you were recommending brand new as a whole, you would recommend either Daisy or Deja, right?
I'd probably and I'm not saying this to be trolling. I would probably start with Daisy and then say, if you like this, then go back to Devil and God and then don't listen to Deja would be my recommendation. For now, hold on. I want to qualify that and say that would be for somebody coming completely outside of emo. Because so I feel like anybody, like if somebody loves emo, they know about brand new already. Like, I'm not going to be like, hey, have you heard this? And they're going, oh my God, what is this? Like, you know, like they know this record, you know?
Okay, that's why
I would say, like, if somebody doesn't like emo and I'm like, well, here, try this band because they did this different sound. If they like Daisy, then I would be like, okay, also you can try this one, but don't step any further back than that.
I don't feel like Daisy's emo, but well, that's a whole nother discussion. Maybe
That's what I'm saying. It's not. If it was somebody who doesn't like emo, I would say, okay, but here's a band who, in my opinion, evolved to something different, and I would have them listen to Daisy.
This is why he was so excited about his album pick next time, that because it's going to be with you.
Yeah, because it's going to be Daisy, obviously. Oh, no. I assure you it's going to be one of the deeper Pink Floyd and Roger Waters albums this next time, because I have tried to be nice. I tried to give her Floyd records that I thought she would be okay with, and she was not, so...
Michelle just put her head down on the desk. You can't see this. So I feel like it was a great moment. We have to keep it in. Michelle put her head down on the desk and she looked very defeated.
I'm going to be sick that day.
Right.
Are you sure that's not a Kyle day?
Yeah.
That's probably a Kyle name.
I'm certain that it's not.
Wait, I hear my baby calling. I gotta go.
Seth, would you recommend this record for people to listen to? Brand new, The Devil and God Are Raging Inside Me. Would you recommend this to folks?
Who are you talking to?
I said Seth.
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
I didn't either, to be fair, but I was going to wait and see how it played out. I would recommend it for sure. Even though I think one side is stronger than the other, I think it's still worth it, especially if you're like into emo music or like that sort of like post emo sort of stuff.
Right.
Okay. So wait, that was C-Russ. I don't know where you guys are situated on your own screens, but Seth, will you please rate the three albums? The first one is fine and whatever, but will you please put them in order between Deja, Daisy, and Devil?
In like the order that I like them?
Yeah.
I mean, I would say I like them in the order they came out.
So you like Deja the most, then Devil, then Daisy?
Okay. Yeah.
We can be friends. Okay.
We can be friends.
You?
Yeah, well, no, not me. Michelle?
Roz, you can go fuck yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently, that's the theme of this episode.
Are we allowed to curse on this show? If not, yeah. I'm sorry. Oh,
Kyle does every 2 seconds, and Michelle does. Michelle's good for about three an episode. So
okay, cool.
Three fucks.
Yeah. Michelle, would you recommend this record?
Yeah, of course. To anybody and everybody.
To anyone
even
and
if
everyone.
You don't like emo or you don't like brand new, listen to this record. It's great.
She might even log into her Twitter account and tell people to listen to it on there.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Whoa. That's a bit much.
Too much effort?
Let me tell you something. You can curse on this show all you want to, but what you can't do is come on here and suggest that Michelle will lift a finger. That is not allowed.
My bad. I'm just here to support Michelle this episode. So,
you know what? I'm the heel.
I'm sorry things got a little hostile just now, but I will not stand for someone trying to suggest that Michelle will do something.
That's Russ's job.
Yeah. Yep.
We talked about it. It's in his job description, not mine.
Correct. All right, let's get around to our ratings, and I'm just going to rip the Band-Aid off with my rating, and then we'll go to Seth, and we'll have Michelle go last. Mine's a 5.
Hold on.
Michelle taking a quick, swift shot before my review. My rating on this record is a 5. And the reason why this record is a 5 for me is because this is nothing that I would ever put on myself, ever. Like, I would never purposely put this record on. However, if you were like, you know, Michelle, let's say you come down here and visit and you're like, oh, I'm going to play this record over like the streaming, you know, in the house or whatever, I would enjoy at least some of it, right? Like, we're not in like 2 or 3 territory. Like, I wouldn't be sitting there mad the whole time that you're playing this record, but it's something that I would never put on myself, but I can find enjoyment out of it if someone else put it on. Okay. So that to me, I feel like a 5 is a fair rating for that reason. I'm not taking away from how much anyone else enjoys the record. I'm just saying for me personally, that's how it shakes out.
I thought it was going to be a 3.
So is this your pet sounds, Russ?
Yeah. Yeah. This is as a matter of fact, my pet sounds. Yes.
So this is as good as Pet Sounds. I got it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I said.
I would get that too.
That's exactly what I said. Seth, what is your rating from 1 to 10, 10 being the best?
I would give it an 8 because I think, I really enjoyed a lot, but I do think there's room for improvement. And it's not my personal favorite brand new album. So that's why I would take a few points off.
So from at least what we talked about, I would say you at least get a point deducted for overall production and then for the downhill slide on the second half of the record.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Michelle, 10 and why?
It's not a 10.
Oh, that's right. There's at least one stinker.
There's a stinker on it. I'm going to say 8.5.
Always with the halves.
I know. The stinker is, it's not good. And just because it's my favorite brand new record doesn't mean it's my favorite record ever. So, I mean, like 8.5 is where I feel like it lies. I was between an 8.5 and a 9, but the more you guys talk about the production value, you've convinced me that it's not great. I think, you know, I was listening to it again today and I was like, I think that if I had never heard a brand new album and emo wasn't my jam and I put this on, I'd be like, what in the actual fuck? Like, what is this happening right now? Mm-hmm. Like, there's a lot of noises. But for me, it's a lot of nostalgia that's connected to this album. I really love it. I really love the band. And so I do think that there's probably room for improvement plus that one stinker. But so that's why it's an 8.5. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Because when I was throughout the week, I was starting to think of my rating as I was listening. And I sort of kept waffling between 7.5 and 8.5, like different ratings between those two. So that's why I settled on 8 as well.
Yeah, so it would have been probably a 9 until you convinced me that the production value was not good. And like, that's something that I generally don't think about. Like, unless it's like really bad, like the Lone Bellows first record is just like, you can, after seeing them live, like you go back and you listen to it and you're like, damn it, like, why does this sound so bad? But even seeing them live, I don't think this is necessarily, I didn't think this is necessarily like Lone Bellow territory. But now that you say that and you guys both agree, I've been convinced. So you lost a half point on your, because you guys fucked up.
Oh, okay. We get it.
So it's our fault that the record wasn't produced as well as it could have been.
Well, it surely wasn't Jesse's fault.
Actually, to be fair, the person that they had producing this album wasn't their first choice. The one they wanted to do their to produce their album was unattainable because they didn't have enough money for him.
Who did they want to produce it? Do you know? Not to put you on the spot. Who did they want?
I don't remember. I just remember Matt Sorbino because he did the first and this album.
Okay. I feel like it was. If you're going to say
he did the first record.
If you're going to say it's pricey, I'm going to guess it was somebody like Brendan O'Brien or like Butch Vig or like a big enough name.
You know, now that you say if it's that's for the person that did their first album, I can hear the similarities.
Yeah. The person that they wanted to work with was Dennis Herring out of Mississippi.
Gotcha. So we have an average of, I don't know, 6-ish, 6.5-ish on this for all of us. But it's Michelle's favorite brand new record.
I think we could say the average is like 7.
Yeah.
Because me and Michelle rated it pretty high and only you rated it pretty low.
No, I rated it in the middle.
You just said an 8, right?
I said an 8, yeah.
So the average is 7.16.
Okay. See, I was right.
So having said that, Michelle, thanks for showing up for the show.
You're welcome. I would do anything for you guys.
Seth, thank you so much for, first of all, for all of the support and the loyalty, like for real, like every single week you retweet the show. You're always interacting with us. You always have great feedback for us. You've been a big supporter of the show. And I know I said this on the episode about us needing help in, you know, going forward with guests and whatnot. But we wanted to have you on for the longest time and it never worked out. So this whole thing with like swapping Michelle and Kyle is unfortunate in a way. But in a way, it allows us to do things like this that we wanted to do for a very long time. So thank you for everything in the past and for helping out with this episode.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me so much. I mean, of course, it would have been awesome to have Kyle here, too. I can't, you know, keep that charade up that me and Kyle are beefing. But yeah, no, it's been great to get on the show finally. It's something that I wanted to do, but tried not to push my way onto the show because as a podcaster, I know some people do that and how annoying it is. But yeah, I'm glad my time finally came around because this has been like just like so much fun is exactly awesome. What I thought it was going to be
Just so everyone knows, it's not so much that we don't want to have people on. It's that for the longest time, our schedule was just like, we would be like, okay, we're ready. And like we would have 2 minutes for everyone to log on and record because just everything was so crazy. So it was like very hard to schedule people. So it wasn't that we were not having people.
No, for sure. And I've always, and Seth will tell you this, like I've always told podcasters that I'm like, the show you hear on Monday that sounds good and polished was like done at the last second by the seat of our pants, like every single week. And it's been a miracle to get it out some weeks. So, but it's been great and awesome. And going into next week, we will swap out Michelle for Kyle next week. And since we're going into what I call Elvis season, because August is usually a big month for Elvis since he passed away in the middle of August, we are going to watch an Elvis concert film called That's the Way It Is. And we are going to have Sam from the 500 Section Lounge sit in with Kyle and I to just kind of have an open discussion on that film. So to be clear, this is not the new Baz Luhrmann Elvis biopic that we're talking about. This is the actual Elvis Presley in the concert film That's the Way It Is, and it's on HBO Max for free right now. So for anybody who might happen to want to watch it, I think it's an I think a lot of people who don't know anything about Elvis can watch this and really learn more about him as an artist. And he wasn't just a guy who sang other people's songs and whatnot. So for me, it's like required viewing for Elvis fans.
Yeah. Also, too, you can cut this part out if you don't want it in. But did you want to talk about the Weird Al movie since you just had that as a topic on the show?
We are absolutely going to discuss it when it finally comes out. I think it's November 4th.
We got a little bit of time.
Yeah. And there's going to be a whole thing with our YouTube channel in that because as many people know, like I jokingly acted on it last week's episode, like I'd never heard of Lauren from the Beard Al podcast when we had her brother John on. I happen to be very familiar with Lauren. As a matter of fact, I live with her, and she's going to do a whole live stream in a ball gown for the for the premiere of the Weird Al.
I love it.
Movie.
I love it.
Yeah,
I'm here for it.
Yeah,
I think it's gonna be. I think it's gonna be really good because when I was like first hearing about it was gonna be happening, you know, Daniel Radcliffe from Harry Potter, and I was like, this seems like a strange combination, but also it's Weird Al, so maybe it's not. So yeah, I was really excited to see this. So I'm really looking forward to seeing
it. The trailer is out. The trailer will give you an idea of exactly how absurd it's. I mean this in the most complimentary way I can say this. It's exactly the movie that Weird Al deserves, if the trailer is any indication.
Does it have his blessing?
Oh, he's fully
tweeting about it. Yeah.
Yeah. He's fully involved with it. He was there. He was on set every day of shooting. He oversaw the screenplay, but it's at the risk of derailing the entire end of this episode to go on about this. Just watch the trailer, Michelle. It is not a Dewey Cox. Like, it's not a parody of films, of biopics.
That's a great film.
It is. No, I'm saying it's not that. And it's also in no way based in fact. Like, in the trailer, they indicate a full-on relationship between Weird Al and Madonna. So that'll give you an idea.
It's not real, but it's not fake?
Correct.
Okay. Well, yep. We'll talk about
it. And we'll all learn more on November 4th.
You can all look forward to a YouTube video about this.
Yes, there's going to be quite a whole deal about that going on.
Maybe I'll watch that one.
Right. Yeah, I know. Hopefully it'll be within your wheelhouse, your 90-minute wheelhouse for movies. But next week, we are going to sit down and discuss the Elvis movie, That's the Way It Is, the concert film. And then we'll be myself, Kyle, and Sam from the 500 Section Lounge in on that episode. As we always say about this time, without music, life would be a mistake. Bye.
Bye.
The Infectious Groove Podcast is hosted by Russ Robinson, Kyle Wimple, and Michelle Kasalecki. Produced and edited by Russ Robinson. Intro and outro music composed by Chris Kimmel. Recorded with a Rode Podcaster Pro and Rode Pod Mics.